The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. Today we're going to be talking about veterans, but specifically we'll be talking about homeless veterans. We're going to be talking about what's going on to deal with this issue. This issue has been going on for quite some time, for many, many years. It goes back to the Vietnam era, maybe even further than that, where we've been dealing with the issues of veterans who've come back from serving their country or have served their country, and then now they're out there on the streets, don't have a home, sometimes underemployed or unemployed. But we want to make sure, and we want to stay on top of these issues, because now even our Iraq and Afghanistan veterans are now becoming part of that population who are homeless now, and we want to continue to deal with these issues. Today we've got the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. Randy Brown, he's the Director of Communications, is with us online. Thank you, Randy, for stopping by the show.
Thank you for having me.
You know, when we look at this, and I want to kind of take this from a different perspective, one, talk to us about the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans, about what you guys do, and then talk to us about the current state of homeless veterans right now, Randy.
Sure. The National Coalition for Homeless Veterans was started in 1990 by a group of veterans who were providing different services to veterans, and they looked at it and saw that there were a lot of homeless veterans, and there wasn't really anybody doing anything about it. So they organized the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans, and that's our base. We are concerned service providers, and we currently represent over 2,100 service providers in communities across the country who provide services to homeless veterans and veterans at risk of homelessness. And as far as the current picture, in 2014, there were just under 50,000 homeless veterans on any given night in America. 50,000 is a 33% decline since 2010. So we're moving in the right direction.
You know, with all of that, I was just about to ask that. I mean, was it an increase or a decline? And it's good to hear that, a 33% decline. What has been the situation? I mean, what's the picture of these homeless veterans? Is it still a good number? Vietnam era, Persian Gulf era? Is it, you know, the dynamic of Iraq and Afghanistan? What are we looking at in terms of the picture of the homeless veterans?
Yeah, it's still a majority Vietnam-era veterans, because if you look in the past 25 years, that's the era of veterans that existed for the most part. That was the largest portion. So it's still mostly Vietnam-era veterans that are homeless. However, in the past 5 years, we've started to see the Iraq and Afghanistan veterans start to come to the service providers that we represent. Some of them wind up on the street. Some of them are at risk of homelessness. So that's starting to be a population that's kind of sneaking into the overall homeless veterans population. So, and obviously, as more and more veterans come back, that's something to keep an eye on and be concerned about, because we want to make sure that we don't repeat the Vietnam era, where they come back and there's no services available for them, and then there's thousands and thousands of them on the street.
You know, when you look at this dynamic, and, you know, with the Vietnam era and now the current war era, when we look at this and the decrease, I mean, what is being done right, you know, in terms of decreasing? Is it that when people are getting back right now, they're using the VA better? Are there more programs like yours that are out there right now? The information is being disseminated better. You know, what's going on? Because that is a good dramatic decrease. What's happening that's being done right?
In about 2000 is when we really started to see initial declines in the population of homeless veterans, and that's when some of the federal grant programs that exist really got beyond just very tiny programs that weren't really utilized to starting to see funding levels increase. And in 2009, the president declared that it was a national priority to end veteran homelessness. And in 2010, the secretary of the VA at the time, General Shinseki, announced a five-year plan to end veteran homelessness. So since 2010, when they launched the five-year plan, there's been record levels of funding and resources and new programs for homeless veterans. And as we wind down to the end of the five-year plan, this is the final year. That's really been a huge difference, just having that be a priority, a stated priority of our nation.
You know, is the White House, and I mean, I know that the president had been very involved in terms of veteran issues, and the first lady had been very involved. Is this a time where you really have seen, and I don't know about other administrations, but have you seen just more of a concerted effort kind of from top down as it relates to veterans and homeless veterans in order to kind of push to get them off the street?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that's all, you know, everyone will say it's a having homeless veterans is a disgrace, or having homeless veterans is unacceptable. And it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to do something about it. So the service providers that we represent have been doing something about it. But as we've kind of built that momentum over 25 years, going from a handful of service providers to now where we represent a safety net that covers the whole nation, it's really the momentum that they built in the grassroots and bringing attention to it on the national level. And then at the top, they started saying, oh, this is a problem, and let's look at some programs that we can create to help it. And as we showed that those programs work, it's just kind of snowballed from there to where we have a much better handle on what works and what needs to be done. And having that top-down message is really helpful. It kind of gives a cohesiveness to all of the service providers across the country, knowing that it's a priority from the top as well as in the grassroots level.
I know, Randy, that you're out in and out of Congress and on the Hill a lot, looking at these different issues. Have you seen an increase over the past couple of years in terms of policy and legislation that has been passed, not only just in maybe the federal government dynamic in Congress, but maybe even some of the state legislature, you know, legislators, or maybe even some of the city councils across the nation? Have you seen a lot more legislation being passed across the country that is dedicated to homeless veterans, and more money is being put in by governments?
Yeah, that's definitely the case. As we have the five-year plan, that's just drawn more and more attention, and the First Lady announced a mayor's challenge to end veteran homelessness, so that kind of takes the national priority to the local level, and I think something like 300 mayors have signed on to end veteran homelessness in their city by the end of 2015. Okay. New Orleans recently announced just at the beginning of this year that they had ended veteran homelessness in their city by the end of 2014. So they took that mayor's challenge and they beat it by a year. And they kind of set the standard and showed that, you know, you can do this in your city if everybody's working together, if it's a priority, and all of the organizations and government and even the corporate partners and employers, if everybody works together, you can end veteran homelessness. And that's what we're seeing as all of the different things come together and drive the numbers down.
We're talking to Randy Brown. He is from the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans, an organization that's out there focused in on making sure that the homeless veteran issue goes away at some point in time. Randy's trying to pull himself out of a job in trying to get this homeless veteran issue taken care of. And they're working with not only state, they're working with cities, they're working with the federal government, they're working with corporations and nonprofits and other people in order to really focus in on the homeless issue. We're going to keep on talking about this when we come back. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Organizations, agencies, and the private sector spend much of their resources on cybersecurity. With recent data breaches at OPM, Target, JPMorgan Chase, and other organizations, are we focusing on the wrong issues? In recognition of National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, we'll be speaking with federal and industry experts about data security versus cybersecurity and the strides we are making to protect our citizens, infrastructure, and economy. Tune in this Wednesday at 12 noon on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, sponsored by Cloudera.
This is John Gilroy from FedTech Talk. Wanted to tell you about a local company that has had a national impact on airline safety. For the past three decades, Electromech has worked with federal agencies to make sure aircraft wiring is safe and reliable. Electromech is responsible for testing, inspecting, and analyzing a wide range of electrical wire interconnect systems. For a white paper on addressing fleet management needs, please visit electromech.com. That's electromec.com.
Some me time with a good book on the train.
A snooze while others take the wheel.
Commuting the way that works for me.
Me too.
Whatever your ideal commute is, Commuter Connections gives you the options to ride happy. Save money and improve your commute. Go to commuterconnections.org to see all your free ride-sharing options. That's commuterconnections.org or 800-745-RIDE. Ride happy.
Selling goods and services to the government, whether federal, state, local, or foreign, presents businesses with tremendous opportunities, but also significant challenges and risks. Tune in this Thursday at 12:30 p.m. to Expert Voices of Government Contracting Show, underwritten by Kroll and Mooring. You'll hear from principals in the Government Contracts Group discussing effective legal guidance in this highly complex arena. Again, tune in this Thursday at 12:30 p.m. to Expert Voices of Government Contracting Show, underwritten by Kroll and Mooring.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, National Service Officers.
We've got an entire generation of men and women who have seen war. They're going to need voices.
Paralyzed Veterans of America represents them.
We're going to make sure that the Veterans Affairs gives them everything that they're entitled to.
Get all the health care they need.
Making a person's house adaptable.
And we also focus on getting them a job.
We help our veterans for free.
Changing lives, building futures. That's Paralyzed Veterans of America. To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Get the latest TSP numbers and Thrift Savings Plan news every day on federalnewsradio.com's TSP page. Go to federalnewsradio.com, search TSP.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are talking about homeless veterans, about how to stop this issue, about how to make sure that when a veteran comes back from war or comes back from service of their country, that they are never, ever put out there on the streets. They're never, ever in a position where they're homeless, but they're in a position where they can be employed, where they can start businesses, where they can now, again, be a part of society and be a part of a successful part of society in terms of either starting a family, having a business, being employed, or whatever the case is. We're talking to Randy Brown. He's Director of Communications at the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. And anyone who's been listening to Fed Access for quite some time, you know, I'm a veteran, and this is an issue that's important to me. So we want to make sure that all the issues are covered, whether it be homelessness, whether it be underemployment or unemployment or whatever. We want to make sure our veterans are taken care of. Randy, you know, you mentioned about New Orleans in the previous segment, and you mentioned that New Orleans took the challenge and that the First Lady has given a challenge and 300 mayors have signed on to end homelessness of veterans by 2015, and that New Orleans said by 2014 they had done it. What's the success story there?
Well, it's that community-wide collaboration. So the mayor made it a priority, and there are different city offices of, you know, the different services that a city's social services offer. They work together with the nonprofits. They work together with federal funds. They work together with state funds, and they just bring it all together. And the key thing is not looking at it like we have a homeless veteran population. It's looking at who are these individual veterans who are homeless and what do they need to get them in a house. So they found all of the homeless veterans, they analyzed what each veteran needed, and they put the services together to get them what they needed to get them housed and off the street.
Hmm. You know, is this a dynamic in which, and maybe New Orleans is the way, that you had a lot of people out there in the field looking, you know, on the ground, looking to find out, you know, because not everybody's in a homeless shelter. Sometimes people are out there under the bridge or they're out there in the woods or something like that. Was this kind of an on-the-ground movement where you had a lot of people in the field and not just the city, but, you know, other people going out to try to really locate these veterans?
Yeah, outreach is a huge part. To know who is homeless, you need to know that they're there and you need to go and find them. Sometimes they're not going to be in the shelters all the time. They might not like the shelter environment, so they might find whatever place it is that is safe and quote-unquote safe and comfortable for them, and it might be under an overpass or wherever it might be in your community. But finding them and letting them know, hey, we want to help you. These services are available. And sometimes it's a matter of getting them to trust you enough that you can help them and having them accept that help. But an important part is going out and finding them and making sure you know who the veterans are that are homeless and where they are.
Right. You know, when we look at the homeless veteran and nothing, a dynamic, I'm sure they don't fit one particular profile, but are there some things that kind of categorize it in terms of, is it someone who's suffering from, post-traumatic syndrome? Is it someone who, just had some misfortune? Now they came out of the military and they weren't able to bounce back. What are we looking at in terms of, especially when we're looking at service providers trying to make sure that a veteran comes out of homelessness and then stays out of homelessness? They don't go back into homelessness. What are some of the key things that we saw in terms of the attributes of a homeless veteran?
It's a mix. There are the chronically homeless veterans, mm-hmm. who are homeless for years or have multiple episodes, and they might have mental health issues or substance abuse issues that keep them from being able to sustain a stable housing environment, and they might need more intensive services. There are also just veterans who are between jobs and miss enough rent or utility payments that they wind up not having a place to live, and they can bounce back fairly quickly once they find a new income source or just short-term interventions. So it's really a mix of all types of different situations. But the main areas are having enough income to be able to support yourself, not having health issues that impact any other area that might impact your income, that might impact your housing situation if you need special accommodations or a prescription or appointments that can snowball. So it could be anything, and it's different for everyone.
Sure. You know, the VA has kind of had its ups and downs. There's some criticism. There's definitely some positive things going on at the VA as well. And when we look at the VA, Department of Veteran Affairs, from your standpoint as the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans, what do you see? I mean, are you seeing that they're starting to really get a handle on this? Are we really starting to see some good leadership in terms of homeless veterans, or there still needs to be much improvement? Where is this at right now with the VA?
VA has done a great job on the homelessness issue. The five-year plan to end veteran homelessness was very ambitious, mm-hmm. and they're doing it. They have great programs. They have a transitional housing program that is good for those veterans that fall in the street, but they can get back to supporting themselves. They have the Supportive Services for Veteran Families program is designed for prevention. If someone's on the verge of becoming homeless, they can get funds to help them stay housed while they figure out whatever they need to keep that stable housing. There are vouchers for permanent supportive housing for those chronically homeless veterans that may need supportive services for the rest of their lives to maintain a stable housing situation. And they've put all that together, and these programs work. And the tail of the tape is that 33% decline in veteran homelessness since 2010. The proposed budget for fiscal 2016 would not fully fund two of those programs, and that's the Grand Per Diem program, which is the transitional housing program. Mm-hmm. There would be a cut and flatlining for the two, for that and the Supportive Services for Veteran Families. So while we have all this great momentum, the budget for those being one being cut slightly and one being flatlined would kind of put a little drag on the momentum that we have, and we need to see those funding levels at their
peak. I mean, they need to stay
at the levels that we're sprinting towards the finish line here, and we need those programs to be fully funded.
You know, it's troubling when you hear that. You know, especially when you see the momentum is there. And then for Congress to, is it just the program funding ended, or was it a matter of that, you know, now somebody is making a deliberate cut in the program and not necessarily realizing the impact that they're having if they do cut these programs?
Yeah, I'm not sure where the cut came, what the reasoning is behind it. I think because the end of the five-year plan is coming up, they're looking how do we transition to a maintaining a safety net that is different from what it took to drive down once you get to zero or functional zero. How do you maintain that level? And that's different from getting to zero, but we aren't at zero yet, and we will still need adequate supports once we get there, because there's a lot of veterans coming back, and a lot of them are young and having trouble with employment, or there are still a lot of potential issues. It doesn't mean that the issues that veterans face that can lead to homelessness go away if we get to zero.
Right. You know, we got to take a quick break. When I come back, I want to get into the service providers. You know, you've got a lot of stuff on your website, and people can find the National Coalition of Homeless Veterans website at nchv.org. But, Randy, I want to get into some of your service providers and the grants that are out there, to different programs that are with the corporate connection and things like that, and kind of talk about some of the things that you guys are really pushing forward to really help homeless veterans get back on their feet, and really how people can help fund these things, whether it be a nonprofit, whether it be a foundation, whether it be a corporation, or whether it be an individual getting involved in order to stop this homelessness. How can people help out in order to really help these veterans get back on their feet? We're talking to Randy Brown. He's Director of Communications at the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. We're talking about how to stop this problem, how to end homelessness for veterans all over our nation. We'll be right back after this break. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in every Monday at 10:05 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee. For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your career retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, sponsored by WEPA, Mondays at 10:05 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. for topics and ideas that could change your future. For free information, visit NITPINC.com and WAEPA.org.
What is the management and performance agenda for the U.S. Department of Commerce? How is Commerce working to transform the way it does business? What is Commerce doing to support its employees and reform its hiring process? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and more with Ellen Herbst, Chief Financial Officer and Assistant Secretary of Administration, U.S. Department of Commerce. Tune in on Mondays at 11 a.m. for the Business of Government Hour on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Did you know for every hour of regular exercise, you can live 2 hours longer? Walking has the lowest dropout rate of any physical activity, and it's one of the easiest ways to improve your heart health, reduce stress, and lower your blood pressure. Join the American Heart Association for the 2015 Greater Washington Region Heart Walk on Saturday, November 7th at 8:30 a.m. on the National Mall. Generously sponsored by Vencore, Inc. Help raise funds to fight heart disease and stroke in our community. There's fun for the entire family. For details, visit GreaterWashingtonHeartWalk.com.
Weekends were made for football in Annapolis. Gather the family and be part of the tradition as the Mids take on South Florida Saturday, October 31st for a noon kickoff presented by AFBA. Don't miss the action of Navy football and a halftime performance of the Washington Redskins marching band. To get the best seats, call the Navy ticket office today at 1-800-US-4-NAVY or go to NavySports.com. Again, that's 1-800-US-4-NAVY or go to NavySports.com. Navy football, it's American.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Pissarro as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Visit myvillagegreen.com, listen to past shows, and discover other healthy living resources.
Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Garden of Life and Solgar.
If you've ever attended the Executive Leadership Conference hosted by the American Council for Technology Industry Advisory Council, you know it's the premier training and education event of the year for government and industry IT execs. ELC isn't coasting on past success. This year's theme is Government 2020. Imagine the possibilities. It's shaking up things with real audience participation and collaboration. Crowdversation.
Register today at actiac.org. That's actiac.org.
Experience the difference of federalnewsradio.com. DOD reporter Jared Serbu.
The Navy wants to begin a bring-your-own-device pilot project that would let its sailors and civilian employees use virtually any smartphone to access their data on Navy networks. The project, which is still pending legal approval from the Pentagon CIO's office, would use a system of derived credentials for secure user authentication.
Experience the difference. Jared Serbu on federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about veterans, and this is a constant thing about the show that I always want to stay on top of is veteran and veteran issues. But today, we're talking about a serious issue of homeless veterans, about how to stop this homelessness issue and make sure that the people who have served our country so well, make sure they don't ever end on the street. And if they do get on the street, we get them off the street as quickly as possible, get them in some kind of housing, and then get them employed or get them starting business. Businesses, but get them back on their feet so they can contribute to society. We're talking to Randy Brown. He's Director of Communications for the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. You can find their site at nchv.org, nchv.org, a great site that has a number of different resources on there if you're interested in getting involved in helping stop this homelessness issue. Randy, you know, you got an area on your website that talks about service providers, and he talks about, and it has a number of different things on here, everything kind of from some of the grants you were just talking about from the federal government all the way down to, you know, other resources from foundations and corporations. Talk to us about the service providers. What when you're looking at that, who are those people and what are they doing?
Service providers could be, a lot of them are nonprofit organizations in communities across the country. There are organizations that serve homeless veterans specifically. There are organizations like Salvation Army serves homeless in general, but a lot of their branches have specific homeless veteran programs. So there are those national charities. There are local ones that are just located there. There's an organization called U.S. Vets that has locations around the country that specifically serves homeless veterans. And then there's just local government-type things that like Departments of Health and Human Services or Homeless Services, Veteran Services. So there's all sorts of different organizations out there helping homeless veterans. One thing to remember is that homeless veterans are also citizens, so they're also able to access services for the mainstream population as well.
You know, when we're looking at this, and what have you found? Is it just that the veterans don't know? Do they not get the information? What is it that kind of keeps, because it seems that there's so many different programs out there. Is it overwhelming? Is it a lack of knowledge? Is it, you know, just not wanting to get back engaged? I mean, what are you seeing that is preventing a veteran from kind of walking in somewhere and say, I need some help?
A lot of times there's not enough room for, you know, if one organization says we can't help you, then if they can't find the right organization that can help them, we get calls. We have a hotline for homeless veterans, and they can call and we can get them in touch with a service provider in their community. But a lot of times you talk to them and they've already been to several organizations and they've all said they can't help them. So it's a matter of getting in the local community, getting them in touch with the organization that can help them. Funds are, you know, we have record funding levels, or we have had record funding levels for all of the federal programs to help homeless veterans, but those are still small programs in comparison to a lot of other programs. So it's a matter of using those funds wisely and being able to connect the veterans that need them to the sources in their community that can help them.
You know, when we look at the dynamic of corporations getting involved, a number of corporations, there have been a big push, and I'm sure you've seen it, about hiring veterans, right? You know, about kind of, you know, getting all veterans employed, and especially getting a new generation employed at different companies, whether it be a Walmart or whether it be whoever the case is, a Bank of America or J.P. Morgan Chase or any of the number of companies who have come out and talked about their veteran initiatives, about hiring veterans. What have you seen in terms of the corporations getting involved in terms of helping the homeless issue? How are they really kind of, you know, put their energy into this?
I mean, there are companies getting involved in all sorts of different ways at every level, at the national level, at the local level, statewide. One of our big funders is the Home Depot Foundation, and they have their team depots across the country, and they've made their priority to their priority is veteran housing, and a big part of that is housing for homeless veterans. So team depots across the country help organizations rehabilitate residences or facilities that they have, and they fund all sorts of projects. There are other organizations, like the hiring initiatives are huge, because having a good job is a big part of being able to keep yourself with a roof over your head. And there are a lot of organizations that provide training or free training or apprentice programs. There are a lot of organizations giving money to different nonprofits and different causes that help veterans. So the Joining Forces Initiative is big on the employment and training. There's Hiring Our Heroes with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. They put on veteran hiring fairs across the country every year, all year. So there's just a lot of things that corporations and companies, big and small, are doing. And that's what it takes. That's a big part that was kind of missing for a while, was the companies and the corporations getting involved in this issue. And there are a lot that are doing a lot of good.
You know, when you look at the dynamics of that and you see this good, is it... And you know, you looking at it from the problem, sometimes it can be, is, you know, and we don't want to say it's too many, but is it so many that people kind of get confused? Is there any kind of cohesiveness in terms of the veteran service providers where people are working together, where one organization will refer somebody to somebody else, or if they can't provide the services, is there one place that people can find all these resources and not get confused? Do the VSOs, the veteran service officers, do they know about these different programs and they can find it in one spot? I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the big final piece, is making sure that all of the services there's, because the services are out there. It's a matter of making them all work together so that if a veteran needs help, no matter where they wind up looking for help, that that contact can either help them or let them know who can help them, instead of saying, no, we can't help you, sorry. And then they have to, you know, call three other organizations before they figure out what's going on. And that's a big part of the mayor's challenge, is that on the local level, cities are creating this network where, okay, if we have a homeless veteran and, you know, this organization can provide this service, this department can provide this service, and just working together and making all of those services linked together is the big final step in making sure that there's an adequate safety net for all homeless veterans.
You know, when we think about this dynamic and we think about kind of the next phase, do you think right now there's enough resources out there? I mean, and I'm looking at a couple of different programs, and we got to take a break in a few minutes, but you've got the stand down program. You've got programs that even say if you want to start a vet program, is there enough out there right now? Or do we, you know, we say we got 50,000 more people, more veterans to deal with. Do we need more people getting into the fight?
Well, I mean, I think that right there is your answer. There's still 50,000 as of last year, and we'll see the new number soon. But when there's still that many left on the street on any given night, there's not enough being done. And, you know, there are the resources we feel are there. We feel that the government needs to continue funding the federal programs and all of the nonprofits, all of the corporations that are involved in this are doing great work, and we need to continue and make a final push. It's not something that we're like, oh, we're in the final year of the five-year plan and we have all these resources, so let's just stay at this level. We want to keep moving forward and attacking it because we look at it as an emergency situation.
Right. When we come back, I want to talk about the dynamics of kind of even dealing with, you know, incarcerated veterans, talking about even some of these stand down programs and talking about people getting involved. The individual who now listens to the show and says, you know what, I want to get involved. I want to kind of give some guidance to that person so they don't get confused on everything else about how to get involved and how to do it the right way and make sure that their energy is being put in the right perspective in order to help these homeless veterans get off their situation and get back on their feet. We're talking to Randy Brown. He is Director of Communications for the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. You can find their website at nchv.org. nchv.org. If you're interested in helping with this problem, I definitely want you to go to the website and utilize the resources and get involved. We'll be right back after this break. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This hour of news is brought to you by Boeing, delivering the enduring capability and value of the FA-18 Super Hornet to the U.S. Navy on schedule and on budget. Learn more at fa-18.com.
Here's Dave Mihelsik, the Chief Technology Officer at DISA, on the Open for Business, the State of the Government Cloud Panel discussion, sponsored by Red Hat and Dell Federal.
With cloud, you can achieve equivalent or better security than you can with a traditional environment. So one of the things that we've done in support of the Department of Defense is define a cloud security model that lays out the standards both for commercial clouds the DoD is going to use as well as for our internal private cloud.
To listen to the whole program, log on to federalnewsradio.com/redhat.
You are the company you keep. At Red Hat, we keep good company. Hi, I'm Stanley Strader with Red Hat. We've partnered with Dell, the industry leader in compute, storage, and integrated solutions to bring open, cost-effective, reliable technology platforms to our customers. Agencies need rapidly scalable cloud infrastructures. Dell and Red Hat deliver secure, enterprise-grade cloud infrastructures for greater agility, all cost-effectively, all open source. Trusted partners with proven results. Visit redhat.com/Dell.
More than one-third of all cybercrime incidents and security breaches are caused by insiders. While governments around the world have communicated the importance of addressing insider threats, real-world efforts have been patchy. Tune in on October 29th to hear executives from ODNI and FBI discuss the essential components of an insider threat program and what steps can be taken to monitor for insider threats. That's Thursday, October 29th at 12 noon, here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Sponsored by Nuix.
Here's Bill Lay, Deputy CIO for Information Assurance and Chief Information Security Officer at the Department of State, on the Cybersecurity versus Data Security National Cybersecurity Awareness Month special discussion, sponsored by Cloudera.
The goal for IT is to enable an organization, in our case is a federal agency or department, to do its mission. We're there because of the mission. The mission's not there because of the IT.
To listen to the whole program, log on to federalnewsradio.com/Cloudera.
The federal CIO challenged agencies to enhance cybersecurity. The problem is traditional technology doesn't allow agencies to access or analyze the information they need to do this. With Cloudera, that changes. By building a big data cybersecurity analytics platform with Cloudera Enterprise, agencies are able to analyze terabytes worth of diverse data to identify rogue users and unknown threats. Learn how at cloudera.com/cybersecurity. That's cloudera.com/cybersecurity.
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about dealing with the homeless problem, but specifically homeless veterans. We want to make sure that these veterans who have come back from serving their country so well, we want to make sure that they are not on the streets, that they are not homeless, that they are not dealing with those problems, that they get back on their feet, that they we get them employed, we get them into housing, we get them starting businesses, and we get them being a part of back to society again because they've served our country so well. We're talking to Randy Brown. He is the Director of Communications at the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. You can find their website at nchv.org, nchv.org. And please go out there, take a look at the website, look at the resources that are on there, and get involved in this situation. Get involved in helping to solve this problem. Randy, you've got a couple of different things, and I wanted to point these things out because I've seen these things and out there before and want to see how well they're working with veterans. But Operation Stand Down, or the Stand Down programs, where you've got veterans coming together. How successful has that been? And one, what is the program, and how successful has it been?
Stand Down is a hugely successful program. What it is basically a 1 to 3 day event. You could describe it as a homeless veteran service fair. A community will get together and set up an area like. I'll use San Diego as an example since they started Stand Down. In San Diego, they put up a bunch of tents with cots, and it's a safe environment where veterans and homeless veterans and veterans who need the services that are going to be there can come. They have a safe place to sleep. They can get showers. They can get haircuts. They can talk with the VA. They can talk with the Department of Labor for employment help. They can talk with a whole range of services. Whatever it is you might need from getting your eyes checked or you're seeing a foot doctor or, help with a resume to get you a job, anything under the sun that you can imagine that might be useful. So that's a big outreach point where a veteran can come off the street, they can feel safe, they can have camaraderie with other veterans, and just access all these services and see there is help for you. So that's often a first point of contact for homeless veterans, and ideally it leads them on the path of getting access to the help that they need to get off the street. Stand Downs take place across the country throughout the year. We have a schedule on our website on the homepage at nchv.org. On the right-hand side of the page, there's a Stand Down link, and you can learn more about Stand Down and look at the find a Stand Down near where you're at.
Can anybody, if somebody looks at it and says, I can contribute. I'm a nurse. I can do this, or I'm a person who works at a corporation. Maybe we can do that. Is it open where people can also now contribute and maybe set up a booth or come down and help out?
Yeah, Stand Downs they rely on the whole community. They need volunteers, they need donations. There are all sorts of different things that an individual could be able to help out with, and we have contact information for each Stand Down. So if you're interested in helping out, you can either call or email the contact, and they'll be able to let you know how you can help out. And I'm sure they would all be happy to hear from someone that wants to help.
And I've seen these programs in action. I can speak for them that they definitely bring out the veterans, and I've seen the smiles on veterans' faces when they are part of those programs. So, you know, if you're out there, you're listening, definitely get involved in one of the stand down programs, because they are definitely beneficial to that homeless population who's out there, who needs that help. And sometimes they want to hear a thank you, and they just want to see, you know, somebody is out there willing to, you know, help them out in some kind of way and everything else. Well, you got an area in there talking about starting a vet program. What's that about? Are you looking for people to start nonprofits? Are you looking for people to kind of maybe start a program at their corporation or at their church? Or what are you looking for?
Well, that's on our website under the Get Involved section. We have a guide how to start a homeless veteran program. And I would say that for people that are interested in helping homeless veterans in some way, the first thing I would do is look and see what's available, what programs are already there in your community, and how you can help them. Because it's not a small undertaking to start a homeless veteran program. But if you have an organization or a nonprofit that provides those type of services and you want to integrate veterans into that, it's a good starting point for someone that's looking to start a program. And there are people that want to start a homeless veteran program, and they do it. So I don't want to discourage anyone from that, but it's not easy, and you don't want to confuse or duplicate if sure. helping an already existing program or working with an already existing program might be more effective. So, you have to assess the need in your community and kind of go from there.
You know, I was real interested in seeing on your website, you talked about incarcerated veterans, and you don't really hear about this a lot. You do hear about it when it comes to the dynamics of post-traumatic syndrome disorder or things like that. Do we find that the homeless veteran population, that they end up incarcerated many times? Sometimes, you know, people are trespassing and they're trying to find some place to sleep, or, you know, sometimes it could be petty things, a small petty crime, but they end up incarcerated for a number of different things. Is that what we're finding? And then, you know, when you're dealing with the incarcerated veterans, what programs are you talking about in terms of reentry?
Well, yeah, that is an issue. And there are, you know, a lot of things related to homelessness that could, you know, unfortunately, a veteran could wind up incarcerated or charged with some crime like that. And then the big thing is that once you get out, you have that on your record, and that can be a barrier to employment, to housing. So that's really something that can be can have a dramatic effect on a veteran's life and trying to maintain the things that they need to have stable housing. There are veteran treatment courts to address that. There are homeless courts to address that. But that is a big challenge for veterans, especially veterans who are homeless and looking to find employment or a place to live.
You know, when a veteran gets incarcerated, does it affect their VA benefits? Does that have an impact on the benefits they receive from either Department of Veteran Affairs or from a state or county or whatever the case is?
You got me on that one. I am not sure, off the top of my head. Sure. I can get that information.
And the reason I ask, because, you know, with all that stuff, you know, with the programs, you know, what I do wonder is that when a vet is incarcerated and they're coming out, are the programs basically saying, listen, you're still a veteran and we're still going to help you out regardless of the case? I mean, is that what you're finding with most programs, that they're trying to say, hey, you're still a veteran, we're not looking at you as you know, a person who did A, B, C, and D. We're just looking at you. Let's see how to get you help.
Yeah, most programs are, you know, they're only worried about, this is a veteran who's homeless.
Gotcha.
And there are some crimes, obviously, that make that different if it's like a group housing situation. But most service providers are going to try and work around anything like that might come up.
You know, we only got a few seconds, Randy, but you had I was really interested in seeing that you definitely pointed out women veterans. Why? I mean, what's going on in terms of pointing out women veterans and getting them help?
I guess kind of the military and veteran culture has for a long time been very male-dominated and mm-hmm. focused on males. But especially in the past, 15 years, more and more women are serving in the military and more women are serving in combat roles or combat-related roles. So we're seeing more homeless veterans are women, and it's still mostly men. But the fact that the percentage of women is increasing means that services need to be able to address the needs that a woman might have that are unique from the needs that a man might have, and just acknowledging that there are certain services that women need that need to be available.
You know, thank you so much, Randy, for what you guys are doing, the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans, I should say. You can find their website at it's at nchv.org, at nchv.org, the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. Thank you guys so much. We want to kind of keep abreast of what's going on. So we'll check back with you throughout the year, Randy, to find out, is there anything going on, new legislation? Hopefully that legislation gets passed that keeps veteran funding for homelessness to deal with this problem, keeps it where it is or even increases it so that we can continue to drive this number down. Thank you so much, Randy.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller is on Twitter. Follow him at jmillerwfed for the latest IT and federal management news. At jmillerwfed.
Here's Andrew Wright on Agency of the Month, U.S. Department of Transportation, sponsored by Evergreen ITS.
It was really about setting aside an ethos of breaking down the different barriers within DOT and cooperating to get access. There are many different buckets of federal transportation funding, whether it be private activity bonds, whether it be the TIFIA program, the RIF program. A big part of making this work is just making sure that you can look across the programs. It's easier to access the different buckets of capital within the department.
To hear the entire show, go to Federal News Radio.
Here's Terrence Martin, president of Evergreen ITS, discussing federal IT services in today's climate.
The start of my career, it was more of a mainframe environment where things were more centralized and more consolidated. And as we moved to the networking world, things got more spread out. So now it seems like a full circle effect is taking place, moving to the cloud services and things of that nature.
For more information on how to partner with Evergreen, go to evergreenits.com.
What is WEPA?
You mean WEPA.
WEPA, WEPA, what is it?
If you're a civilian federal employee, you should know.
Why's that?
Because WEPA gives federal employees choices that could save you money.
So however you say it, WEPA means value.
Find out what 40,000 federal employees know that you might not. WEPA is a nonprofit association that offers a variety of benefits to members who are current or retired federal employees. WEPA is dedicated to serving the health, welfare, and financial well-being of its members. WEPA members can register for free webinars. Topics include long-term care and financial and retirement planning. Did you also know WEPA has a scholarship program for the children of their policyholders? Find out about the many benefits WEPA offers its members. To learn more, go to WEPA.org. That's WAEPA.org. See how WEPA is already helping over 40,000 civilian federal employees. Go to WEPA.org. Again, that's WAEPA.org.
Technology inspires innovation. Innovation is a requirement for any business or agency. Listen Tuesday and Thursday afternoons at 1 for Federal Tech Talk hosted by John Gilroy. John gives you the latest on products that help breathe life into federal IT policy. Lively, entertaining, and totally informative, Federal Tech Talk airs Tuesday and Thursday afternoons at 1 on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Download at any time at federalnewsradio.com. Search Federal Tech Talk. The liveliest debate on the radio. In-depth host Francis Rose invites pundits, watchers, doers, and thinkers to debate the top federal stories of the week. The Federal News Countdown airs Friday mornings at 9. Listen in on this spirited roundtable of federal experts with big titles who have opinions to match. The Federal News Countdown, Friday mornings at 9 on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Download it anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Search Federal Countdown.
Federal News Radio and Ackerman Security Systems Community Spotlight is the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Someday there will be a cure. Join the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society in their mission to make someday today by taking steps to end cancer at area Light the Night walks, completing an endurance event with team and training, or fundraise through the Student Series programs. Make a donation to help fund critical research and patient programs. For more information, visit federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio charities are fed by Papa John's.